Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live downtown Vegas. Circa Resort Casino is the spot. As always, a three-hour banger lined up today. Great guest on the program. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Best bets today for the NFC East. Paul Charchian coming up in 30 minutes. Also, we'll kick around season-long props slash fantasy news with some of these injured players as they keep popping up now on a daily basis. Robert Walker on the show in 1 hour. Longtime Las Vegas odds maker. This guy has so many stories, it's going to knock your socks off, Paul. I don't know. He has so many. He's been around. He's seen everything. I don't know which one I'm more excited about today.
Yeah.
To hear from.
Well, we finally get the story for the first time anywhere because he worked with the guy and was there. It's an all-time Las Vegas story. Well, Bill Brennan walked out the side door with $500,000 and was never seen or heard from again. Haunts him to this day, he said. Can't wait to get into that story with him.
Some think that he is in the bottom of Lake Mead.
That's right. Absolutely.
Which, by the way, have you noticed the water levels here recently again?
Yep.
The Hoover Dam, like all these bodies are going to be popping up kind of like right after the pandemic.
Holyfield, Tyson 2, bite night, and robbed on his first day of work.
That'll be good. Also, he was taking bets.
What a character.
Right, the Toledo point shaving scandal, college football?
Yep.
Yeah.
He had that too.
Very good.
And how about a $5 million bet on a Super Bowl if we have time?
Not bad.
This is great.
Derek Stevens on the program today as well. Are we going to... Maybe this thing plays out. Remember, if you go back to like the middle and end of May, we said, oh my God, this National League Cy Young race is going to be one for the ages. We had like six guys in it that were all, it was The Miz, and it was Sanchez, and it was Otani, and it was Sale, it was Mason Miller. We're like, this is incredible. Well, it never really, this is now what we're getting. It's not like six guys, but it's two in the National League MVP race. And this might be a daily thing. And I posted today on X at Mitch Moss Radio, like if it's tonight and you had to make a bet on this, because it's basically a pick'em. I got all the numbers in front of me right now. I got prediction markets. I got national books. Basically a pick'em everywhere. PCA is a small favorite at a couple of spots. If you had to make a bet on the NL MVP and they announced the award tonight, how would you bet it? Not who you think should win the award. Yeah. This is the bet that I would make right now with my money. Those are two completely different things.
Yep. I think it's just riding these guys with the player props and what they've done. And come back with Ohtani tonight. He has a hit in 21 straight games at Coors Field. 4-for-5 last night. During the stretch at Coors, 9 home runs, 24 RBIs. He's hitting .420. Career against Sagano, he's now 7-of-11 with 4 bombs. I'm glad we mentioned that several times yesterday. As he hit 2, which was 15-1.
Yeah, maybe in that situation, it was not 2-1. It was a little bit shy of that. But, you know, to go back to many of our conversations with the great Matt Vasgersian and MLB Network, like, what are we doing with these prices? They're unbettable. I don't know. Is last night, for people who had him, certainly they're going to say, well, of course he was bettable at plus 180 to hit a home run. He hit 2. He dominates there. I don't know. Maybe anything in the 2-1 neighborhood is worth it for Ohtani.
Total bases, too, yeah. Yeah, I would just say the total basis is the way to attack it as well.
Oh, right? He was 2.5, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. How would you bet it right now, Paul? Yeah.
I wouldn't. You're handicapping a voter. I don't know. I know it remains to be seen if he's going to come back pitching and how long he's going to go there as well.
Well, here's the unfortunate part.
I think there could be a little bit of Ohtani fatigue. So I guess it'd be PCA if he's able. Why do you pitch to the guy with first base open? That doesn't make any. This lefty, I don't care. Lefty, lefty, righty, righty. First base is open. Don't pitch to him.
No, it's clearly, by the way, with his numbers against lefties, they're off the charts. It's a mistake bringing in a lefty against the guy, too. Tried to, like, specialize against. Doesn't matter for him. You really can't do anything against the guy right now. He is so good. Here's the unfortunate thing for me involved in this market. Today is, what, August 18th? We have to wait until the week of November 11th, 11-11, to find out who wins these Major League Baseball awards. For some context. Mm-hmm. The Heisman Trophy is announced December 12th. College football hasn't even... We have to wait 10 more days for college football. We will find out the Heisman Trophy winner on December 12th, 1 month after they announce baseball awards. What are we doing here?
Well, at least you know when it's going to be. as opposed to how the NBA did it for so long, where you just tune in to watch guys on Inside the NBA and you might get an announcement.
Yeah, you have no idea, but we might spoil it tonight. So PCA reached the 30-30 club again last night, makes it back-to-back seasons for him. The six other players, Major League Baseball history, to do it back-to-back years. Willie Mays, Bobby and Barry Bonds, Ron Gant. Loved Ron Gant.
Ah, another guy. Ruined his career. Motorcycle.
I know.
Like Jay Williams.
Vladimir Guerrero. Loved him. Bobby Witt Jr. as well. That's it. PCA last night. Five times on base. Four hits. Three extra base hits. Stolen base. Leadoff home run. Walk-off home run. No other player in Major League Baseball history has done all of that in one game. Also, good tweet here from Megan Montemurro. His game last night, the overall performance, two home runs, a double, a single, a walk, a strikeout, a stolen base, and three RBIs. It added 0.5 F-war to his season total, which is wild. 12 qualified Major League Baseball hitters have produced an F-war of less than that this year, including Kyle Tucker, 0.4. How's he trending lately?
Yeah, they won, but there's still a lot of negative stuff going on. This guy's 0 for his last 24. He dropped another fly ball, and they brought in Diaz, who gave up three runs.
Yeah.
Roberts, I still like that he's fighting. We've got to support him. I believe in him. I think the compete was there. I said this when you were out. It's like C.J. Stroud. What does he have to do to get demoted? He's giving up runs every single time he's out there or walking a tightrope. Like he got out of the bases loaded jam against Milwaukee after he loaded the bases with three walks. Come on, Roberts.
Mm-hmm. So they brought him in. Like, it's absolute blowout. What is it, 11-2 when they bring him in?
Yeah, he made it interesting.
Sure he did. All of a sudden, three runs are in. You're like, wait a second here. Is this really going to happen yet again? Can't be, because the lead was so like seemingly insurmountable. But that and Tucker is so shot right now mentally. Did you see this last night? He was caught on video trying to, maybe he was joking or I don't know. I did not listen to the postgame presser. He tried to hand his glove to Otani. Like, why don't you go play outfield for me? And Otani just kind of joked around and laughed. He's like, no, I'm not going out there. What's wrong with you?
I know. Don't hit the ball to me, please.
Oh,
he's scared.
He's got to get a day off.
And he can't put the ball in play and issues he's had as well, right? Well, the other thing is Diaz. Like, what does Roberts mean? He's got the compete.
He's fighting?
Out there. He's got the compete I like to see. His ERA's 12. Yeah. I mean, I would hope he goes out there and at least gives the old call a try. He's making $80 million.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's a bizarre comment from Roberts, too.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen enough here. This guy isn't getting it done. So even though they won, there's a lot to be concerned about with this L.A. team.
Again, I'll say it one more time. I think if Ohtani comes back and makes another start or two, that's the total unknown. I think he's going to win this award. But if he doesn't, then I think PCA can take it down. And that's the biggest part of the gamble, I think, at getting involved right now. And the only people I think that are playing this right now is if you're in a spot where you can hedge with different numbers. That would be it, in my opinion, because it's a total coin flip. I have no idea which way to go with it
now. Right. It's like the AL wild card. There's nothing you can do. There's a three-way tie, and then a couple teams are a game back. Nobody's good. It's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no bet to be made.
Have you made any bets yet today elsewhere?
No.
I have Yankees in pocket minus 114. We talked about this a lot yesterday. It is the definition of a Malinsky special. 10-game road trip for Baltimore. No day off. They played last night in Tampa. Back home now. That's always part of the handicap. Rodon now. It's down to $1.09, so I got bad number here at Circa. Money coming in on Baltimore a little bit. I'm off here by 5 cents now. I don't really trust Rodon, but I certainly do not trust Baz going for the Orioles. Jazz Chisholm also has good numbers in his career against Baz. I don't like the Yankees offense. Who can at this point? But I think the Yankees are a little cheap here in this game, and I am playing him, and I did earlier today, to win it outright.
You could do Alonso props. He's on fire during this 9-game hitting streak, hitting almost 550, and leads an RBI since May 1st, what he's done. Incredible season. So it's win some, lose some. They get Rodon back for the first time since June 28th, but Dr. David Chow thinks Fried's out for the year.
Yeah.
So they lose him, he goes on the IL, and it could be a couple months. So tough one for the Yankees, but you're right how bad the offense has been, and Baltimore still trying to make the playoffs after a great job taking 3 out of 4 against Tampa.
Yeah, and by the way, they used 4 relievers yesterday too. So the Yankees with a day off, they're fresher. Another reason why I liked them in this game tonight. A couple of player props. Looking at here tonight as well, Wilson Contreras for the Red Sox. Very good numbers in his career against Merrill Kelly. .538 batting average, 4 extra base hits, a home run. I played 2-plus total bases at plus 125. I don't have access to DK, but DK had plus 130 earlier, so that's an even better number. Plus 125 is the best I could do. And this Vargas going for the Diamondbacks against Suarez. Now, he has not exactly been lighting the world on fire lately. Only 4 hits overall in his last 10 games. But in his career, again, you know, some guys just have another dude's number. 450 batting average, 5 extra base hits, 2 home runs. Yep. I played almost 13 to small bet here, but almost 13-1 to hit a home run tonight. And the extra bases there, I think the highest number I saw was like plus 140.
It lost last night, but the Padres are number one all year with the Nerfy. And the Yankees haven't scored a first inning run in 16 games. And something Mike Paul mentioned last week, it got there yesterday, at least in the game, but a first inning run in the Twins game, where they got 4 in the first and it held up, and that was the difference. But how about that Mets game? The Padres had 3 guys gunned down at home. 2 in an inning.
Yeah, and by the same guy.
That's right.
Wasn't it Bench who threw both out?
Yeah.
And by the way, they weren't even close.
No. Third base coach. It needs to be an investigation.
Yeah, what was going on?
What are you doing? Yeah.
I mean, fool me once, shame on you. He did it twice in the same inning, and it's like, guys, you're like 15 paces away from home plate.
Catcher's bracing himself. He's like, okay, I got to wait.
Right.
You're not even close here. Those were lasers coming in.
It's like a big rig showdown. I see it coming from a mile away, and I just got to sit here and take it. It's not going to be a play at the plate.
Yeah.
What is that guy looking at?
I don't know. He cost him the game, though. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's when you're on tilt at the blackjack table, you can't get anything. Screw it. I'm going to do something crazy that I normally wouldn't do. So Paulie's going to detail a lot of the numbers that came in last night, including the PCA and the Ohtani stuff, with win some, lose some. And we lost our minds yesterday over 49ers rookie wide receiver DeShaun Stribling. Well, we've added even more bets to the portfolio with him.
Win Some, Lose Some is sponsored by the Sharp Plays.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
Happened again. A lot of these aren't even close. That's 15 straight unders in the WNBA. There's 4 games tonight on a stacked card. Will it continue? Oh, my God.
Boy, they are good, nuts. By the way. I mean, this just in, Golden State, they can win the whole thing.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs. They clinched. Hell of a defensive performance. Another blowout win. Made it too close for comfort at the end, but 15 unders in a row. And take a look at the schedule. It's compact and jammed up because they get a couple weeks off coming up at the end of August. PCA to go deep twice, 33-1. Ohtani, 2 bombs, 15-1. Favorites in MLB went 9-2. Overs, 8-3. Most strikeouts, Shohei, 8-1. Most runs, dead heat. Dodgers and Red Sox. Dodgers was 3-1. Boston, 10-1. Highest scoring game, Dodgers, Rockies, 5-1. Win some. Dr. Jerry Buss in 1979 paid $69 million for the Lakers, the LA Kings, and the Forum. The Lakers alone were $12.5 billion now. Pretty good ROI. It's like Lake Up with the Warriors. Paid $400 million for it. He's got the arena, and the team's probably worth $11 billion, $10 billion.
Can you believe that he got away with $400 million? That's not that long ago.
That's true. Yeah, in that part of the country as well.
Right, in that city.
That's right. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com. Our radio and podcast friends, you always want to see these tweets and videos. At Pauly Does Vegas on Instagram, send them in. We'll put you on. This is someone's house. This is someone's home theater. You go downstairs, and he's got his own movie theater, and you got the Mandalorian there with Baby Yoda. Is that R2-D2? You got a gremlin up top hanging out, all the decorations and the iconic figures over the years. You get your popcorn, and you get your candy there. There's E.T. up on the bike.
Got the marquee.
And then you go over to the right. There's my sis. Come on. Sit down. Got the couch, the sofa, the home theater.
The movie posters.
Oh, my God.
Where is this at?
I'd like to know. That's a great setup. All-time setup. It's like when people show man caves or come on over and watch football at my house. I'm a big Browns fan, whatever.
What do we think here?
This guy hardcore with his home theater.
What's this going to run you?
Good question about the gremlin and the R2-D2 and all that stuff. I have no idea. Some of that stuff, though, might...
To put this whole thing in your house, build it out like that, it's got to be a couple million?
I think you're high.
Am I high?
I think you're high with that. But... That's still
impressive.
I don't know.
That's going to be a lot of money.
I'm going to do this. They come to the Spear out here in a couple months.
Yeah, of course I want to do it.
How about the Metallica and Justice for All coffee table? Just give Kramer a call. Look at that. That's awesome. He's got the Metallica cover of the Justice for All album, and he got it as a coffee table. That's brilliant. It's that get every album there and use it. That's good.
I'm trying to see how. Yeah, it's so dark. I can't like see it compared to anything. But okay, now. Okay.
He's got the glass on top of the actual CD holder too. How he played it. That's excellent. I don't know how many times you've been on an unbelievable heater, but this guy videotaped the whole thing. Yeah, he's playing blackjack and he filmed the whole thing.
Oh, I've seen this.
I think he won the first 10 hands. There's a double down to start playing a foul. That's $2,000. Cheap bus, right? And he wins every single hand, and I think he starts 10 in a row. There's a bunch of blackjacks in there. He's hanging out at the Aria.
Yeah, it takes like 3 minutes, and he just,
right.
You know.
Yeah, he wins every single hand here.
No, this is the exact opposite when I play.
Yeah, no kidding. Or if you're at the tournament, at Circa as well. The dealer's got 20 or 21 single hand.
I can't remember the last time I was on a heater playing blackjack. It's incredible. Uncanny.
Yeah, he can even win four or five hands in a row. It just goes on and on. He runs the shoe. Everything working for him here. Double down, splits, bus, deal, getting blackjack. Couple bad beats. White Sox to win and White Sox plus the run and a half. They blew it in the ninth and then PCA covers the run line with the walk-off. And the Cardinals in game two blew it in the bottom of the ninth and lost to the Reds. That's a killer. And more games Thursday in the NFL. Sharp plays. They reach out to over 500 bettors and sources worldwide across all sports. Sent out to subscribers in real time. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. Every play logged, every result public. Records go back to 2011. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the Sharp Money at sharpplays.com. Get the daily Mr. Poison tweets as well. Sharpplays.com.
Okay, so again, you can always get in touch with the show multiple ways, right? On X, at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. Emails ftm@vsin.com. So this is a great tweet from Nick. We were talking about Deshaun Stribling yesterday quite a bit. And did you know how that number moved?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So at the very it's down to like 10-1 now to win rookie of the year. So we got several different bets on this guy already. And that would be one of them. The other one would be to lead all rookies in receiving yards, etc. So Nick says he heard us talking about him, and he made a bet on July 30th that he found, and it looks like this is at DK, where they have those quick bets that they're called, I believe. Fast futures. It's to lead the league in receiving yards after 3 weeks. He got down in Stribling at 150-1. So again, we don't have DraftKings in the state. I'm like, let me shop around. I went to Caesars thinking that their menu was so impressive that they would have something like that. Well, lo and behold, they do. So for those of you in the same boat here and you want to get involved, Caesars, Paul, you have a bet for Bills Lions.
September specials.
Yeah, highest scoring game in September.
Fun. Correct.
So under September specials, thanks to Nick, I got out on Stribling at 150-1 for most receiving yards and 150-1 for most receiving touchdowns. I'm looking last year. Now, we can go on an average basis here rather than the full total, but Puka Nacua had 503 yards receiving in September last year. The difference is they played four games. This year, every team's only playing three. So he averaged 125 yards in those games. JSN put up 402 yards in four games, so averaged right around 100. Can Stribling be in the mix to win this bad boy if he averages 100 yards in three games? I would say yes. He'll be right there, very close to it. Now, they begin with the wonky game in Australia against the Rams. No idea how that's going to go.
McVay walking back travel plans now, too. I'd like to keep that in-house, he's saying now. Maybe they don't get there. Until maybe they change up their
I think their they plan. Probably, they probably should, do. Right? So after the Rams game, the 49ers get Miami, and that got awful defense.
Yeah.
And they get Arizona.
Okay.
So 150-1 for most receiving. That worth a bet? Took a shot on it. Why not? Let her fly, baby. And hopefully he sets the world on fire coming out of the gates, and then those other tickets that we have on him will be looking pretty attractive as well at that point.
Well, from the rookie standpoint, you got the good news with the Tyson injury. So the lead in for rookies, you have to like that as well, which I don't think Tate's going to do much with that pathetic Tennessee team. And this guy's built to dominate and get a ton of catches and receptions with this team that figures to be a playoff contender as well.
Yeah, and by the way, Mike Evans dinged up again today. Evidently, ice on the hammy. Left practice, evidently. Not going well there. Again, that's the story of that team has been forever for the most part. JVT and I hit on this quite a bit on the latest podcast, Pod of the Futures, which we did a ton of it last night, and it's available now wherever you get your podcasts. And coming up in about an hour and 35 minutes, JVT brought up somebody that we did not mention yesterday that my antenna went up, and it's a long shot to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I'll run that down for you coming up a little bit later on in the program. Looking forward to that. That Tyson news, though, I'm not a happy camper with that because I'm high on the Saints this year. And I want a full compliment. Mm-hmm. I mean, they went out there, and I got a couple of tickets and shuck, you know, big numbers to win the MVP. And I would like to have him a full compliment of players with him, but now Tyson's going to be out for a while, which is not good. And then Breece Hall today hurt, dinged up. He's going to miss, what, 2 to 3 weeks, the way it appears?
Correct.
For the Jets?
I'm excited that Darren Waller is with Carolina, and we'll see if he can come in and have an impact. It's just the off-the-field issues and then the injuries. But McDaniel loved him last year, and he started off, he was hurt. And then he goes, this guy's been great in practice. I think we're going to use him a lot. And then he comes in and has some big performances right off the bat. And I think he had 6 touchdowns. And then he got hurt again. But it was a great bet, I thought, for comeback player of the year, which you were on, with his journey and struggle with addiction. And we'll see now if another weapon for Bryce Young and what he can do with this another weapon for Carolina, which if the guy stays healthy, he's an unbelievable red zone target and weapon, as you saw how much Tua looked at him while they were in the red zone with the Dolphins.
Think about this for a second here. He had those 6 touchdowns on 24 catches. That ratio can't be topped.
Mm-hmm.
6 on 24 catches, you got to be kidding me. But also, like, if they sign Darren Waller, what is that going to tell you about the other weapons on their team? Their wide receivers are fine. McMillan, Rookie of the Year, Coker, fine. But does that tell you that Waller's, like, immediately going to come into Carolina and get a lot of playing time at tight end? I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Yeah.
I mean, when he was healthy last year, he looked absolutely on.
Yeah, and the targets were there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be a big weapon here. And maybe a fantasy storyline for a late-round pick. All that's charge coming up.
Well, I think Bryce Young's going to need as much help as possible.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Up next, 2 full segments. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin on the program today. We'll begin with his best bets in the NFC East. A lot of positivity from Charch coming up. You'll hear why next. Two full segments coming up with a really good friend of the show, great human being, dynamite at what he does, fantasy and also betting. His name is Paul Charchin, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Charch, it's great to talk to you again, my friend, and tell us and the audience all about your brand new endeavor this year called Fantasy Football World.
I will do that in a second as we also take a look at the pipes on Mitch Moss. Nobody gets to see this normally right here. Look at that. Mitch Moss looking good right there.
Where is this?
This is the Beastie Boys. This is a sabotage job. I had no idea you're doing this.
That's right. It is. Absolutely. Well, you know, this is me and Mitch a couple of weeks ago, and I got to see the whole family, which is great. Got to see the dogs, got to see Bash, Lorraine, the whole thing. And we ripped it up outside in Southern Utah, had a great time. And that was a blast. So people, you know, a lot of people don't know me, Mitch, Paulie, all friends. We've been doing stuff together for the better part of 20 years now. And it's nice to be able to see people outside of the studio.
Let me just say this. So, Paulie, you have to go visit him. You have found an absolutely gem of a spot there. I'm not going to give away the coordinates, but Southern Utah, boy, is it, that is, it's glorious, Charch.
Thank you. It is glorious. And what a lot of people that are seeing this picture right now don't know is this was the clothing mandatory part of our hike. Then we did the clothing optional part of the hike after this. And that was thrilling in a whole separate way.
Yeah. Just like Uncle Gary at the potatoes at Thanksgiving.
Yams.
Like, yeah. Yams, yeah.
Like Uncle Gary. Absolutely. Yeah. With the Yams. Absolutely true. Fantasy Football World is the brand new podcast. For those that remember our previous one, also with the initials FFW, this is all the same hosts you love that have come together again to talk fantasy the way only we do, with all the stupid stuff that we talk about and all the aging bits and everything else. Fantasy Football World, tons of insight on fantasy football. It's draft season. We highly encourage you to check out Fantasy Football World, the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Super exciting. The relaunch has gone extremely well. We're sitting at 5 stars as our average review, which is fantastic. Fantasy Football World.
Good
I encourage
job.
You to check that out.
Yep. All right, my man. Excellent.
Thank you.
We roll on with the divisions. We're doing every division here with you. NFC East today. Devontae Smith. It's a big year for Hurts. Mannion takes over as OC. What do you expect out of him this year now with Brown gone?
All right. We're looking at Devontae Smith over really 1,050 yards. And it's plus 100, by the way, so you get a little extra on that. Over 1,050 yards. Smith fits the criteria for an explosive season in Philadelphia. AJ Brown is gone. That leaves behind 121 targets, 78 receptions, and 1,000 yards just vacated. That puts Devontae Smith as the undisputed number one receiving target for Jalen Hurts. The other receiving options are a rookie in Mekhi Lemon, who will probably be good at some point, but these things usually take time. Dontavian Wicks, who couldn't even crack the Packers starting lineup, and they needed receivers bad, and they did nothing. And then Dallas Goedert, 31 years old, entering his 9th season. This whole passing offense goes through Devontae Smith. And if you want to get a little bit of nerdy here, a little math incoming, let's say Jalen Hurts averages 3,400 passing yards per season. For Devontae Smith to get to that 1,050 he needs for the over, he needs a yardage share of 30%. He needs 30% of what Jalen Hurts throws in a typical season. Is that a lot? Is that a little? You might be wondering, because normal people don't know if 30% of a team share of yards is common or not. Well, 17 different receivers topped 30% of their team's share of yards last year. 17. That's obviously over half of the league. AJ Brown was one of those 17 last year, and he's gone. So love this opportunity. Eagles are a good offense, obviously. Some question marks at offensive coordinator with Sean Mannion. We'll acknowledge that, but a great opportunity for Devontae Smith to go over the 1,050 yards.
Excellent.
Very good. Another positive one from charge here from the NFC East. Paulie and I kicked this around yesterday, taking a stroll down memory lane, and that is if Cam Scataboo doesn't get hurt, maybe he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year last year, right? So what do you want to do with him in a bounce-back spot after getting that, having that gruesome injury a year ago?
Yeah, we're going to focus on touchdowns with Cam Scataboo, and you'll see why it becomes very evident here. His number's only 6.5 touchdowns. Get this. In the 6 games leading up to Cam Scataboo's ankle injury last year, he scored 5 rushing touchdowns in those 6 games. Obviously, that puts Scataboo at almost a full rushing touchdown per game in this offense. Now, they have changed coaching staff, so we'll talk about that in just a second. Over a full season, that would put Cam Scataboo on 14 touchdowns in a 17-game season.
Good.
So even if you think Scataboo is going to be a slow starter off his ankle injury, and maybe he will, we've got a massive amount of wiggle room between the line of 6.5 touchdowns, which are going over, and his last year's pace of 14 rushing touchdowns. So this is a touchdown bet. And so what I'm about to tell you is hyper relevant. Scataboo absolutely owns goal line carries and touches in this offense. Tyrone Tracy, total non-factor. Before his week 8 injury last year, Cam Scataboo got every single running back touch from inside the 5-yard line for the Giants last year. And then you might be like, well, that was fine. That was last year. Now John Harbaugh's there. In 2 seasons with Derrick Henry, these last 2 years with Derrick Henry in Baltimore, for John Harbaugh, he ran the ball at the 7th highest rate and the 5th highest rate in Baltimore with Derrick Henry. Cam Scataboo is his new Derrick Henry. I love the over 6.5 touchdowns for Cam Scataboo.
Excellent breakdown. Cowboys, what does Ferguson do? Does he go over his touchdowns in Dallas?
I like Ferguson a lot here. Nobody talking about tight end Jake Ferguson very much. 4.5 touchdowns is the line. We're going to go over here as well. And I want to focus on Ferguson's inside the 5-yard line productivity. We are looking for just 5 touchdowns. And touchdowns don't come any easier from inside the five. It's as easy as it gets. So last year, looking at Dallas in this same offense with almost the entire same players, same coaching staff, who led the Cowboys in targets, receptions, and touchdowns from inside the five-yard line? Was it big-bodied receiver George Pickens at the goal line? No. Was it hyper-productive receiver CeeDee Lamb at the goal line? No. Jake Ferguson had double Pickens and Lamb's production from inside the five last year, including four touchdowns just from inside the five-yard line. And what's more, in this Brian Schottenheimer era of the Cowboys, the last three seasons where he was offensive coordinator then head coach, the Cowboys rank number two in passes thrown from inside the five, and Jake Ferguson tied for number one among all tight ends in targets from inside the five. He's had 18 targets from inside the five the last 3 years with this same coaching staff. A great opportunity for Jake Ferguson to fly over the 4.5 touchdown.
One of the many reasons why you are a fantasy football Hall of Famer, Paul Charchin, our guest. His new endeavor again is called Fantasy Football World, brand new podcast. I've listened to 3.5 hours so far. The podcast, dynamite as always. Okay,
oh, thank
so
you.
Those are three positive outcomes this year. Let's go one negative. You like an under here for Washington. Who is it and why?
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, under 600 rushing yards. Now, he posted 800 last season, so I need him to falter by 200 yards. And as you're listening or viewing, you can do the math with me and see if this sounds like 200 fewer rushing yards coming. Number one, their best lineman, Laremy Tunsil, is going to undergo tricep surgery any day now, and he's expected to miss probably the whole season or maybe comes back in December. Then, number two, last year, Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt had no competition, none. The team traded Brian Robinson away, and they had Chris Rodriguez there, and that pushed Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt into getting a lot more usage than he's going to have this year because the team acquired Rashad White, and that is a major problem for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. In Tampa, White was good enough that he continued to earn playing time, even against Bucky Irving, who's great. Irving's way better than Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. That was White averaging 13 touches per game in Tampa. If White's going to get 13 touches per game in Washington, it's game over for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt. And then the other thing I'll throw out here, Washington's offensive coordinator is David Blau.
Yes.
He's 30 years old. He's never been a play caller. He might be awful at his job. And speaking of bad at his job, I'm not positive Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt's all that good. He finished 27th in missed tackle rate among starters last season. His 4% explosive run rate was really bad, ranking 26th among starters. And his stuff rate was 43%. That was 20th among starters. Rashad White was better in every one of those metrics last year. So you roll all of that together. At best, it's a timeshare and probably he's on the wrong side of it. I think we're going to go under the 600 rushing yards for Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
I'll add one more. I think Ka'Tron Allen becomes a bigger threat than yes. Bill in the backfield.
He looks good. He has shown out so far in training camp, and that is a great angle as well. Yeah. Well done, Mitch.
Well, you're the man. You're the catalyst here. It's Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchin. Again, the brand-new podcast called Fantasy Football World. One more segment coming up with Charch. What to do now with Jordan Tyson? Going to miss up to maybe 2 months. That's no good for the Saints. And he'll tell you about maybe the most dangerous player you could draft in the first round next here on the Sports Betting Network. We continue now with Paul Charchin, new podcast called Fantasy Football World. He is on the Progressive guest line. Hey, Charch, let's get into to this. And I'm one of those people who happens to be very high in the Saints this year. I love the idea of drafting, you know, a receiver in the top 10 to help out Tyler Shuck. They did just that with Jordan Tyson. Well, he's got an injury history, and lo and behold, he's hurt again.
Yep.
Not great news here because of the hammy. Going to miss up to maybe 2 months the way it looks. It's too late now. Books probably pulled him down for a little while with props. So if you bet unders before this injury, you're looking great, obviously. What do we do in fantasy with him?
Yeah, and if you hit the over on Chris Olave, that whole passing offense is going to go through him. The other quiet guy that gets benefited here is their tight end, Juwan Johnson. Nobody talks about this guy. I highlighted him last preseason as one of my big sleepers, and he turned in a 900 receiving yard season for the Saints. You know, half of that was with Spencer Rattler, a quarterback. Juwan Johnson is a way better tight end than people are giving him credit for, and he becomes a super viable pivot, especially for these games with Tyson's going to miss, and Tyson could miss the first half of the season. We don't know yet. It's a severe hamstring injury for him. You know, Olave's hardly been a portrait of health himself. 5 known concussions for Olave. The hope here is that this thing doesn't devolve into a situation that we're talking about like it has the last couple of years at the receiver position, where we're sitting on a Thursday night Saints game breaking down Mason Tipton's prospects. I'm hoping it doesn't come to something like that here again.
Yeah.
Really nice showing last season from Tyler Shuck. I think impressed everybody. As you guys know, down the stretch, I feel like he should have been rookie of the year. I think he got jobbed. He won 5 of his last 6 games for the Saints and clearly turned the corner. I thought he had overall a better season than Tet McMillan did, who ended up winning it. But in terms of just drafting Jordan Tyson now, kind of an afterthought. You know, he was somebody that was going as high as round 5, round 6 after all the amazing camp he had. He was the talk of Saints camp. Now playing in the game for, you know, at least the first month of the season and maybe longer, slides down to roughly round 10, round 11. If you're in a dynasty league and thinking about next year, that's really where Jordan Tyson's probably going to pay off.
Okay, very good. I love that Caesars offers this. I don't know if it's worth a bet or not because he has tip competition, but they do offer most tight end receiving yards for the entire year. Juwan Johnson's 30-1.
30-1. Yep. Do you guys want to guess where Juwan Johnson finished among tight end receiving yards last year?
I'd say, was he top 5?
3rd.
Wow.
So you're telling me all I have to do is get Juwan Johnson to go from 3rd to 1st? That's, you know, that's not that big of a, that's not big of a stretch. So, you know, you're telling me I get, what was it, 35-1?
30.
And all he's got to do is make up a couple hundred yards. That would be an amazing hit, and it's not out of the realm of possibility at all. Great find, Mitch.
What do you think of Stribling in San Francisco? 7 catches in the
great
game Thursday
opportunity.
Night. Okay.
Yep, great opportunity. First round talent, went in the 2nd round. And you know, so much of fantasy football is just about opportunity. How many times can you get the ball in your hand? And in his case, it's a lot. You know, Mike. Every other receiver already suffering from injuries in San Francisco. The power station is the clear winner of the training camp so far. This is it's a great opportunity for him. And, you know, Stribling is a tall drink of water. He can go up with contested catches. I got him right now at wide receiver 44, but he's slowly been moving up. And I think he's going to end up finishing for me before everything is said and done as we continue to get longer looks of him. And we have more and more problems. Mike Evans got hurt again today. More and more problems with the rest of the receivers. I think he's going to move into the 30s before everything is said and done, which is a pretty strong, strong advocacy for a rookie receiver.
Excellent. What do you think of Keenan Allen to the Colts?
Not a lot here. I know they need it, right? They need wide receiver help. Alec Pierce, that contract was, many of us thought that was a mistake when they signed that big 50 million dollar contract for him. The fact that he looks like he is going to miss a significant amount of time makes Alec Pierce, to me, not quite undraftable, but he's moved into the very bottoms of your draft. And Keenan Allen's going to have a spot where he can just sort of show up and get targets his way. Now, what concerns me is that Keenan Allen's best out of the slot. Josh Downs is their true slot receiver. They're going to kick Allen out to the outside primarily. He's a little less effective there. The big winner, though, remains Tyler Warren. You know, last year's first round pick for the Colts is sitting on potentially a very, very good season. And, you know, without a lot of other warm bodies to throw to, the expectation is Tyler Warren's going to see a huge uptick over the numbers that he put up last year.
Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Paul Charchian, our guest, he's on the Progressive Guest Line. New podcast is called Fantasy Football World. I love this player. I have him circled. Depends on where I'm going to be picking in a lot of first rounds, obviously. But the most dangerous player that you're going to tell the audience about that you might be taking in the first round is whom?
The most dangerous player that you're going to be tempted to take. You're sitting at the end of the first round. It's pick 10. It's pick 11. It's pick 12. The guy you're going to be tempted to take is Devon Achane. And this is And it's dangerous. It's good and bad. Devon Achane is by far the best Dolphins offensive player at any position. It's not close. We believe that he's going to be sitting on a lot of high usage. The problem's going to be the Dolphins are going to be just awful. You know, what little they had last year is largely gone. There are going to be some games where Miami's down by 17 at half, down by 20 at half, and the running game is largely left, you know, left behind. Now, Achane can catch. That will help him some. But he was also getting a lot of targets from Tua, who's the ultimate dump-off artist at quarterback, right? So, you know, if you don't have all those short Tua passes coming your way, how much does that change Achane's effectiveness? He's got the upside to be absolutely elite because this, again, the whole offense is going to go through Devon Achane. But the downside in some of those games where they get just blown out and they're terrible from beginning to end, Achane's going to have some dud games. You got to factor into your risk tolerance level if you're going to take him at the end of the first round.
Okay. Give us some players that you love, but you're not drafting.
Yeah, there's a few like that. Let me start here. Jane Daniels is great. Right now, he's quarterback 5. He's going off the board in round 5. He's a special talent with his running ability, his big arm. But the downside for Daniels are very tangible as well. A, he doesn't get goal line rushing touchdowns like Jalen Hurts does, Josh Allen does. He's not built for that. He's, you know, he's taller, more lanky. The whole offense has got a ton of questions under unproven offensive coordinator David Blau, who turns 30 years old. He's already an offensive coordinator. He's never had play calling duties. Adding Stephon Diggs helps, but we don't know how much, and it's a very thin set of receivers after those two with him and Terry McLaurin. It falls completely off the table. Offensive line's already banged up in Washington. Injuries to Laremy Tunsil, Nick Allegretti at center. In round 5, where you'd have to take Jaden Daniels, who, again, I love him as a talent, but I can get DJ Moore, who I love. Basil Tootin could be great. Jameson Williams, Lions wide receiver. All those tier 2 tight ends that I'm interested in, like Harold Fannin and Kyle Pitts and Sam Laporta, Tucker Kraft. There's just so many other ways I can go that I'd never find myself drafting Jaden Daniels at all. And so, yeah, it's a player I love, but a player that I am not taking. And let me give you one more that I think is really interesting. First rounder, Puka Nacua. No, his ADP is pick 5, and there's nothing not to like about him on the field. He has finished so far in 3 seasons as wide receiver 1, wide receiver 6, and wide receiver 7. He's on a Hall of Fame pace. But, and I don't know, this guy, you know, he could be suspended. He has acknowledged a substance abuse problem that was enough for him to go to rehab. I don't know, man. This thing just feels a little off to me right now, given the offseason he's had. May or may not have bitten a woman. I don't know, man. This thing just doesn't feel right now with Puka. And I feel like if I'm going to my 5th overall pick, I don't want those kinds of question marks around pick 5. I want certainty around pick 5. And for the first time in his career, I'm not sure that Puka Nacua gives me that certainty, even though he's got the upside to be the highest scoring player in fantasy football.
Okay. Can you sneak in Kenneth Walker?
Yeah, I can sneak in Kenneth Walker. I love Kenneth Walker. Wow. He's way up at running back 7 for me. I got him higher than almost anybody. He's now with the Chiefs. The only thing to stop Kenneth Walker from fantasy greatness has been the timeshare with Zach Charbonnet. No timeshare with the Chiefs. You know, he is the true go-to guy. Patrick Mahomes coming off ACL and LCL. Easy to imagine a scenario where they're going to get a lot more reps for the running game for Andy Reid, which we have not typically had in the past. And Kenneth Walker can catch. You know, not used a lot in that way in the past in Seattle, a team that just doesn't throw that much, but really good hands. And outside of Rashee Rice and the fading Travis Kelce at his advanced age, there's a lot of targets to be had in this offense. There's not a lot of sure hands like Kenneth Walker brings. He could be, in sneaky fashion, a candidate to be one of the highest scoring players in fantasy football. I love Kenneth Walker. Typically going end of 2nd round, I think you can rationalize a spot that's way higher, closer to the beginning of the 2nd round for Kenneth Walker.
You're the best.
Excellent.
New podcast called Fantasy Football World. Go check it out today. Follow him on X at Paul Charchi, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, friends. Bye-bye.
Join us on the Progressive Guest Line. We go from Charch to longtime Las Vegas odds maker Robert Walker. Tales from Las Vegas. How about this? He was robbed on the first day of his job.